You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Ooh, they're ready. All right. So today, I want to encourage you, check out the teaching sermon notes section of our apps. We'll have some things in there to help you as you make your way through this journey of life and faith. And let's read together from the scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. Here we go. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. You know, we have a favorite saying, seeing is believing, yes? Do you know that's only half the quote? Seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. That's the other half of the quote. And actually comes by way of a 17th century pastor named Thomas Fuller. And Fuller's point was that people aren't necessarily motivated by what they see, but more so by what they feel. And it's funny how our culture handles this, what we see and what we feel. Sometimes these two things are at odds, yes? Take, for example, the nature of science itself. We like to say, science says. But science itself starts with a feeling. There's a feeling that something is true, and so now we're going to apply a certain kind of methodology by which we're going to test it repeatedly, and as we test it repeatedly, we come to find out the nature of what that thing really is or how the way it truly works. And sometimes the science changes. Of course, it should have. Science is a continuously growing body of knowledge, yes? I mean, thank God that God has given us science, and thank God that now there are better medications and all those kinds of things that we have to partake in, which helps us live longer, better, lasting kind of lives. But things have changed over the years. Consider in the 1930s, your physician might have told you to go and smoke a fresh cigarette. It was good for you. Or we might consider that Pluto, until the year 2006, was still a planet. Now it's not. Or my favorite one that I found was that in the year 1885, if you had hay fever, or if you had a toothache, you would be prescribed cocaine. So there you go. What'd you learn today at Easter? Don't do cocaine for your toothache. Anyway, yeah, the point is that we see certain things and we feel certain things, and sometimes they create contradictory values or beliefs within us. And the way that people tend to go about reconciling them is interesting. They create all sorts of half-baked truths in which they'll say things like, well, that might be true for you, but it's not necessarily true for me. And yet the nature of truth is such that if it's true for you, it also has to be true for me. And if it's true for me, it also has to be true for you. And that brings us to Easter Sunday. I imagine the women on the way to the tomb had all sorts of thoughts and feelings. They saw all kinds of things along the way. You heard about it this morning as we kicked off worship from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. They saw things, they felt things, and I believe out of both, God is going to give you four powerful words this morning. Four words, in fact, I would argue, can and very much will change your life. But before I give them to you, I want to go back to the tomb with you. They had to feel lots of failure on the way to the tomb. Think about it. The disciples were all hiding in fear. They were in an upper room locked for fear that they were next because the revolution had ended. Jesus, the renegade rabbi from Nazareth, had died upon a cross, and all that they had hoped and dreamed of, that God would restore the kingdom to Israel, that the dead would be raised, that there would be no suffering or sin or death or war or anything like that, it was supposed to be over. And yet, on Friday, all of that came to a crashing halt. That's how they felt What, though, did they see? And if you take the scripture and you scrunch it down and you look at this word saw throughout the passage, you'll recognize they saw a lot of different things. For example, Mary saw that the stone was taken away from the tomb. She went and ran to get Peter and John, who John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. When Peter stooped in, he saw that there were linen cloths lying there. John saw and believed. And so there's something about this nature of the word see throughout. For some, seeing is merely a perception. For others, they study things like linen cloths that are lying there. But for John, it's radically different. He not only saw something, he believed something because of it. Faith, yes? It's why we're here this morning, is faith. Yes? Okay, I was a little worried there for a minute. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, we're here because of faith. And what the scripture goes on to say is that they didn't yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. There's something about what John believes that he believes, but he doesn't have all the understanding to go with it. Ever been like that in your life? Yeah, that you believe something, but you can't put all of the understanding to go with it. That you feel like you've got to take this leap, you've got to go do this thing, you've got to go see something, you've got to embark on the journey or the mission, but you don't understand all of the implications along the way. Ever been there? I know that you have. My family lives in this with me. Take, for example, we went on a trip to Florida in February. We do every year. It's the way that we escape Kentucky winter. Sorry, I love UK basketball, but I need my sunshine. And so the night before, I saw, on the meteorological forecast that there was a major snowstorm coming. You remember this from February. And so I said to Mandy and the kids, hey, we're probably going to leave a little earlier. And they said, well, what time? I said, I don't know, just a little earlier. So at 3 a.m. in the morning, I woke up the kids who are, of course, excited to get going. And I said to Mandy, hey, we got to go. And she says, I need to take a shower first. I'm like, nope, we're leaving in 15 minutes. Ran down the stairs as fast as I could. And we get in the car. And it was fine. Until we got to Berea, which I knew was going to happen. All these storm fronts were going to converge in the same place. And sure enough, this was the vision that we saw out the front window. Snow and sleet and ice, and it was us and the semi-trucks. And I got to tell you, I grew up in Michigan, so the snow does not bother me at all. Ice, sleet, not good. And this was 40 minutes worth of driving like that. What motivates us to go on these kinds of adventures of faith, yes? Well, Mandy was as quiet as could be. She had her arms folded, kind of like now that I'm telling this story. And Sarah Margaret, she's chatting away because she's nervous, and Luke does what Luke did best. He slept in the back seat. Perfect faith. And so we get through the storm, and on the other side of the storm is Jellicoe Mountain. Have you all driven down? Oh, gosh. All the way through Jellicoe Mountain is the worst fog that I have ever seen in my entire life. But the beautiful thing that happened is about an hour and a half to 2 hours later, driving down the road, the sun came out. It was glorious. Why do we venture out with these feelings that we've got to go and don't have understanding along the way? Well, I suppose it's a shade of faith. And the good news is what we recognize is on the other side of all of the struggle and all of the fears and all of the failures is this ride that God has ahead for us. And I wasn't missing Tron, I got to tell you that. That's how it goes in life, isn't it? Faith is a two-way street. There's God's part and there's our part. In fact, you look at the scriptures, it says, faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, the conviction of things not seen or things that we haven't seen yet. It's the sure confidence that we can hope in God's promises, that what God has promised will indeed come to pass, and the conviction that even though we don't have it all worked out, that God will provide for us along the way because those promises are sure and true. That's what Jesus did throughout his entire ministry. The power of God came down, and God began to work among the people. And what he did was ask them to have faith. He smeared mud on a blind man's eyes and said, go and run all the way to the other side of town, wash in a pool in front of everybody in front of you, and you're going to be able to see. Tell me that you need some faith to do that, yes? Do you have all the understanding to get there? Clearly not. Or what about Zacchaeus? Rumor has it he was a wee little man, and the sycamore tree was pretty big. And so he had faith. Faith propelled him up that tree to get a better view of Jesus, to invite Jesus into his home, a home of a sinner, of a tax collector. Faith led him there. Faith led a woman who was possessed by seven demons to fall at the feet of Jesus. And as Jesus cast those demons out, she came to experience a new kind of life. The understanding comes on the other side, but faith, that's what drives us. And faith drove those women to the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning. Faith drove Mary Magdalene to go get Peter and John. Faith drove Peter and John back to the tomb. Faith kept Mary Magdalene at the tomb even though she was weeping. The boys went home to hide, but Mary Magdalene stayed. Ladies, let's go. What was it that kept her there? Well, surely she wept. I mean, we know from the scripture that she wept. But why did she weep? Because all she saw in the moment was death. And she didn't want to go back to the old life. She didn't want to go back to a life where she's possessed by seven demons and wondering what was coming next. She wanted a life of faith. The faith by which she followed Jesus. In fact, that's the way that it's always supposed to have been, a life of faith. That's the life that started in a garden. We walked with God in a garden in the cool of the day. That's part of the beginning of the story in Genesis. God created us to walk with him. In fact, this is the language that's used all throughout the Old Testament for people of faith. They walk with God. Enoch walked with God. Adam walked with God. Abram walked with God. How did they walk with God? They walked by faith. And what happens when we break faith? Well, that's called sin. Where did we break faith first? In a garden. In fact, that's part of the story. The scripture goes in Genesis 3:8 that those who are walking by faith with God broke faith in a garden. And when God comes walking to them, what do? They hide. When we break faith, when we sin against God, guaranteed that's the first thing we do. We hide. We hide from God. We hide from the church. We hide from our scriptures. We hide from praying. We hide from serving. We hide from being generous. Sometimes we lack faith, yes, people? Sometimes we hide. And so often, one of the reasons we hide is we can't see what's next. We can't feel the good thing that's coming down the road. And so rather than trust God and walk in step with God and keep faith with God, we sin and turn against God and go our own way. Well, Peter and John, they went back to hiding, but Mary stayed. That's what I love about her. And look at what John chapter 20 goes on to say. We have this word saw, which comes up again. She saw two angels in white. She saw Jesus standing. And we have the strangest bit of scripture there where the scriptures tell us that Mary saw Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She thought he was a gardener. You've got it. And we have to ask ourselves, well, what is it about a gardener? Why would she see a gardener? And let me ask a very simple, straightforward question. There's no trickery here. What does a gardener do? He takes care of the... Okay, all right, we're tracking this morning. He takes care of the garden. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that was lost in the garden? Faith. Faith in Genesis chapter 3 at verse 8. That's where people stopped walking with God. And now, here in the midst of a garden, what's the new work that God begins to do? By faith, Mary is going to see the gardener. She's going to see Jesus and gain faith all over again. Faith in the Son of God who delivered her from seven demons. Faith to follow him all the days of her life. Faith. We broke faith, but he ran to us. And he died on a cross. He rose again on the third day to restore to us that kind of faith. And who is the first recipient of faith? A once seven times over demon-possessed woman. Now let me tell you something, friends. If you don't believe that God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anyone, in any way that he wants, I don't know what else you need. Do you believe that God can do all things? I hope you do, because that's what the story of Easter is all about. It's a story of faith, and faith ultimately depends on one singular question. Beyond all of the theology and all the differences that we have with every other different church, there is one question at the heart of the Christian faith that matters the most. How do you see Jesus? Is he dead or is he alive? That's it. If by faith you can say that he's alive, that's what makes you a Christian. See, faith at its heart, it's not a set of intellectual propositions. Faith isn't part of the family culture that brings us to church services on Christmas and Easter, although I'm really glad to see everybody. Faith is the reason that you live. It's the reason that there's breath in your lungs. It's the reason that you get up early in the morning to take the ride. It's the reason that you serve someone else. It's the reason that you head into things that are uncomfortable. This is what faith is all about. It's the reason that you follow Jesus, even though you realize that that way isn't always easy. That way isn't always popular. That way doesn't always win you the gold medal. That's faith. And that's what's missing. Easter faith has become something else. And it's fascinating what us preachers have done. See, we thought for a long time it was our job to convince you to see all the proofs that the resurrection is true. And that magically, if you could see those proofs as being true, it would lead you to a place of faith. But as probabilistically true as they are, people pass them by every day. So we went a different route. We went for feeling, and we said, well, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And we thought that that feeling of recognizing that there was something missing, that would drive you to faith. But I'm not so sure that that's helped either. Which leads me back to the tomb and the four words that I believe will ultimately change your life. Feelings of faith. It's what led the women to the tomb at dawn. It's what leads you on crazy adventures, even though it's just in sort of an embryonic form. It's the reason people jump out of planes, go on mission trips, do the unthinkable, and trust God with everything that they have. And the four words that I believe will change your life is this recognition which comes out of John chapter 20, the last two verses. I want you to notice something. After Jesus reveals himself to Mary, what does he say? He says, don't cling to me. Don't hold on to me. I'm not going anywhere. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. My brothers, the ones who are hiding. My brothers who are hiding from what might be coming their way. My brothers who are hiding from getting to see me, my brothers who are hiding from resurrection faith, go and tell my brothers, the ones who left me and hid from me and abandoned me on Good Friday, that my God is their God, that my Father is their Father. Go tell them that message of faith. And here's the best part. Mary Magdalene, she went. You're like, well, what do you mean she went? She went. She left. She didn't hang on to Jesus to keep him all to herself. She went. See, faith's bigger than a feeling. It's bigger than what we see. Faith, friends, is not just the resurrection of Jesus, I should say, is not just the core belief of our faith. It's not just the core message of our faith. It's the core mission of our faith. And if those women could speak into your life today, they would give you four words that will absolutely change it. And the words are this: you're on a mission, so we ride at dawn. And that's what's missing from faith. We ride at dawn. Do you believe this is true? Well, then we ride at dawn. When it's uncomfortable, we still ride at dawn. When it looks bleak, we still ride at dawn. Because that's why we give away our lives. The resurrection of Jesus is true. You either believe it or you don't. And if you believe it, you have to do something with it. Mary Magdalene did. She left. She left the tomb and she went and told the disciples what Jesus had done. "I've seen the Lord," she said. That message of faith reminds me of a student I once had at Asbury Theological Seminary in a class that I taught. He preached up a barn burner of a sermon, I tell you what, one of the best I have ever heard. And he was a student from Nigeria. And he began to tell what happened in his life of faith. In his church, soldiers came and killed some of his church members. And they burned the church to the ground. And he said, "I finally know what faith is. It is the assurance of everything that we hope for, and it is the conviction of things that we have not yet seen." And when it was over, like, I was ready to ride at dawn. Like, let's go. And all the students, as they began to critique him, said, "Well, you can't go back to Nigeria." And they said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "Well, it's dangerous there, and you're probably going to get killed, and it's not going to work out, and you need to move to the United States, and we'll find a church for you, and it's going to be wonderful." And after hearing about 5 minutes of this, he was very gracious. He said, "Stop. I must go and preach the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the mission of faith. That's what I'm on." Friends, that's why we ride at dawn. A pastor once said, "Seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth." Maybe. I like how the guy from Hebrews said it. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the conviction of things we have not yet seen. And I have this parting word for you. If you believe that he is alive and you stay hiding, you're not living your faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who lived and died and rose again, propels us to faith. And so tomorrow morning when your alarm clock goes off, I hope you know the meaning of what it is to ride at dawn. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for giving us Easter Sunday. This day in which we celebrate your resurrection from the dead, and we realize, God, above all the other truth claims that we could hold, it's this one that matters most. And so, Lord, for someone who's come back to faith today, I pray that they would simply invite you into their hearts and into their lives to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me a sinner. You died and you rose again to give me a life of faith. And by faith, I receive you as my Lord and Savior." And for those who have sat on the sidelines hiding, oh God, I pray tomorrow when they rise to go to work or to go to school or to go about their day, that you would help them realize the message is meant to be lived. It's meant to become part of who we are. It's meant to be shared with the masses that there is a living Messiah who is Jesus. And so, Lord, may they ride at dawn. Send them out. Send them out to change the world. Fill them with your Holy Spirit this morning. Let this be our prayer on this Easter Sunday. And the people of God said, by and in faith, amen.